Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, for just everything you've been doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for our opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters, Lord God, to just learn of you. I thank you for what you're doing at the city. I see something great about ready to happen in this ministry, and I ask, Lord God, that you continue to do that what you're doing despite that what we are doing. Lord God, just continue on to progress us to be that what you are calling us to be. Bless us tonight that we may come and learn of you and be stronger in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we've been dealing with offending others over the last couple of weeks. Tonight I want to deal with people who are getting on your nerve. Because, listen, let's be honest. I have a serious problem with some folks. Don't y'all? And when they get on my nerve, I really can't stand to be around these certain types of people. I don't get me wrong, let me make sure, because it's on tape, so y'all don't have to come back and put me and bust me out. I love the individuals, but I hate that spirit that they carry and is manifested in them. It just don't jive with mine. Can we be honest? We're usually honest with each other, right? And you want to get to the point where you say salvation is personal, so why I got to deal with these folks? I'm going to go ahead and do my thing, forget them. Well, y'all really don't say forget them. Yeah, do y'all? Come on, y'all not all the way saved. What you say, Madalena? No, don't let Madalena say it. We did be the only church you got to bleep out when people talk. Beep. So, y'all ready? I've been really dealing with God on this, and he ain't finished it, but he gave me enough to give to y'all tonight about, and I mean, came to the full understanding of it, but I got enough to make us think. I asked God, I said, God, why do you constantly place people around me that gets in my nerve when you know they get on my nerve? Why do I have to spend so much time and energy dealing with them? It's really causing me to go backwards sometimes than to go forth. Are you honest? And it seemed like when you get away from one person of that type, what you do? Here come another one. Hey, I ain't talking about you, lady long hair. And it kind of bothers us all. It gets us to a point where we are actually going through this shell. Because let's be honest, we know our limitation. And we know we can flick. So what we have a tendency to do, we have a tendency to take the long way around of our salvation route. We like to, instead of attacking the problem head on, we go all the way around so we can avoid the issues and situation because we think that's the best thing for us to do, correct? We have no reason not to deal with people with issues. There's a reason why Magdalena has been brought to this church and I got to deal with her. God, Lord. There's a reason why that these type of people are constantly in your life. There's a reason why Muffin is here, because she gets on our nerves sometimes. Hallelujah. Yes. So we're going to look so I can show you that you're not alone and how to handle some situation and how not to handle a situation. Because if we don't start handling the situation better, we can't progress in the kingdom of God. We're always going to stay foot soldiers. We can never become leaders. We can never become the divine appointed person that God wants us to do until we learn how to handle things correctly. Listen, titles do not give you the right to treat anybody wrong. The more that is required from you from the positions that you get into is the more mess you're going to go through in a position, the more noticeable that it becomes in a position. I want to read David first. Hold on, let me get this one first. And then we'll go to David. The scripture says in Psalms, somebody read Psalms 133 for me. Watch what it says. Watch what this thing says. Come on, watch. You remember how to read? Let's go.
Psalms 133:1.
Yeah.
Behold how good.
Hold on. I love the way to stop. Look, what the first word says? In other words, where to behold me? Somebody tell me where to behold me. Yeah. There you go. That's a great word. Take notice. In other words, if you ain't going to grab nothing up, you got to hold on to what I'm about ready to tell you. It's like latch on, grab on, look upon it, observe what I'm ready to say, because in what I'm ready to say is a secret for y'all to be successful as brethren. As what? Now, there's no excuse when you come into Christ for not dealing with what we're ready to deal with. If you're unsaved, it's okay. You have every right. Walk away from somebody. Let them treat you like a punch them in the face. Kick them. Drop kick them. If Muffin wasn't saved, she had every right to stand up and say, unto me. But because she's saved, she's a sister in Christ, that right has been what? Thrown out the window. I think we misunderstand. We have no right to tell anybody off anymore. Man, that hurts, don't it? Seriously, y'all. Let's be honest. Now that I'm saved, you mean one of the privileges of becoming saved, I have now no right to tell somebody how I think and how I feel? Man, this thing is harder than what I thought it was going to be. Listen, I reason why I'm preaching and teaching like this, because I want you to understand. Listen, sins is not the problem. Your sins that you're going through is not the problem. The sins that you're going through is not what's going to stop you from getting into heaven. Y'all stick with me. It is your inability to grow and to work on yourself is what's going to hinder you from getting into heaven. Judas' inability to see Jesus Christ like he was, his issue was not his downfall. His issue was the end result of him not really understanding the fullness of who God is. Your sin is the manifestation of what you have not changed on the inside of you. When it get to the sin point, it's already accomplished. So sin is not the issue. The ending of it is not the issue. It's the root of the problem. Your inability to change, grow. Your inability to keep your mouth quiet when God tells you to. Your inability not to react to the action. Your inability to want to stay, not to stay hidden, but to be seen. Your inability to want to keep running your mouth when he's in the Holy Spirit telling you, walk away, walk away. Your inability to want to give your opinion on every issue out there, like your opinion is the only one that matters, instead of allowing God's opinion to work. It's our inability to grow, which becomes our downfall inside the kingdom of God. Let's go.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren.
Behold how what?
Good and how pleasant it
how
is.
How pleasing. This word good means pleasing and beneficial to you. How delightful, sweet, lovely, agreeable, beautiful it is for you to dwell, not to just see it one Sunday out of month and think we're holy and righteous. How come when we do one thing right, we want to broadcast it, but all the things we do wrong? But that ain't the dwelling. Dwelling means that you're doing more good than what? How come we never want to talk about an issue, but we always want to broadcast when we do the one good thing? Girl, you don't understand. My boss got on my last nerve, and I didn't say nothing to him. But when you walked away from him, you told everybody in the office all this, that, and the other. And we don't want to finish the story, don't we, Gloria? See? But God said, how good and how pleasant is it for us to what? Dwell or remain. Remain. Hold on. So he's saying this. You on this back and forth, double-sided, here and there, tossing, is not good. You have to get to a level and what? Remain there. So I ask God, Why are we not successful? He said, because everybody's trying to bite off more than what they can chew. We're trying to impress each other so much. We're trying to be so righteous and holy so much that it's like a roller coaster ride. We're on highs some days and lows the next. There's nothing wrong with a gradual increase in the body of Christ. I love what Magdalena said that day. I'm going to repeat it and do the quick way about it. She made a comment, and I love what Miss Amanda said one day. They were so honest about their opinions and how they felt when I asked them about their babies. That y'all remember that day? How many of y'all was here? We ain't repeating. They should have been here. Now, so what's going on is, this is how I feel. This is who I am. This is the way it is. You know why they can't holler at the city? You know why a lot of folks can't comprehend us? Because we are who we are. And we're not going to be holy in your sight and then non-holy out of your sight. When we go to men's retreat, we don't act no difference. We want to be the same. We doing steady growth here. That's why I can't stand folks when they act fake around me. If that's how you act normally, act it all the time. Let God do the work inside of you. Let next year you be better than this year. Even if it's this much, you this much better, you still saved and you still progressing in the kingdom of God. Get that what you are working on correct. Stop getting this one day you're doing good, and next day you're not. This one, and next one, this one. That stuff right there is hard on you. You're going to leave Christ sooner or later. Dwell in it. Dwell in unity. Remain, stay in a place that is pleasant, delightful. Come on.
It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard.
How he saying? Have anybody ever had too much oil poured on you in church? You ain't never had too much oil on you? Okay, if you pour too much oil on a person, y'all want to know what he's talking about here, about dwelling, about progressing? It's like oil that is poured on you. What it does? Do it run fast or run slow? It runs slow. You can, yeah, it runs slow. You can put oil up in your hair if you what? If you, because he's dealing with Aaron's hair and Aaron's beard. It takes his time, but it keep on running, right? That's why he's saying that if you want to be anointed in God, you want to be progressing in God, you need to progress in unity, progress in yourself, progress into development, just like oil that's running down Aaron's beard. How good is it for brothers to dwell together? It's like precious oil running down. It's a dwelling together or coming together, uniting together. It takes time. It's always got to be a constant togetherness. Me and Muffin didn't always like each other like we do now. But we are so sweet and lovable to each other right now. Ooh, she's just the best thing since sliced bread. When she show up to church. No. That's a bad example. I've always loved Muffin. Muffin has always been my little sister. So if me and Muffin did have a problem with each other, we would have to gradually work it out. Y'all got what I'm saying? So I take a little bit of her at a time. That's why she had to take off. She only could take so much of me. I got you. I got me back for you. Muffin, you don't pay me no mind, do you?
No.
I didn't think you. That's why I get to pick with you. So that's what we got to learn to do. But you can't avoid folks. And you can't be fake with them. You can't be all up in their faces, want to hang out with them, then the next day talking about them. Because you don't like them, so you're trying to force yourself to move in a function, and that's not the way God told you to do it. He said, ease into it. Deal with them a little bit at a time. Until you come into full unity. Because what happens, if you deal with a little bit of time, you're going to find a lot of positive about them. You're going to see why they're lacking that. Oh, my gosh, she is weak there, but that's okay. I'm stronger there. You're going to learn how to mesh or to come together. See, what people don't understand, all of us are supposed to have different personality in the body of Christ. If everybody was like me, we would be, what's the kids that they all look alike? Kids with what? Down syndrome. They all look a what? They all look a what? We cannot look alike because there's something wrong with us if we all look, act alike. We all need to have different personalities. We have to start being honest. And even at the place where, even now when I'm dealing with folks in leadership inside different organizations, Mama, what the first thing I told you when you when I put you on the, what you call them? You remember the first thing I told you? Find people what? That's what I told her. Find people who she can work with. Say that again. It ain't nothing wrong with Lady Marguerite if she's not on that committee. We used to try to force folks to be together. So now there's personality clashing. Now one I'm going to end up leaving because one day they can get along, next thing or not, they arguing, that's too much. You find folks that's just like you to work in the same area with the same like-mindedness, and then it jails together. Oh, gosh. I got so many of them to deal with. There's so many in the Bible. Paul and Barnabas couldn't jail together. Both of them were saved. They had to do what? Split. Separate. It's okay. Let's deal with my favorite when it comes to how to act and how not to act. Let's go to Samuel, the 18th chapter. We got a lot of reading, Muffin. You ready?
First verse?
Yeah, because we're just going to do this story tonight. We got to do two chapters, so you can read. Go ahead, do your quick reading voice. First Samuel 18. Let me set up this the story here. Here it is. Listen. I had a problem with this when it comes to my man Saul. Even though, and I have a problem with everybody when they preach this, even though David was appointed king, his time of kingship have not came yet, right? Hold on. Let me ask you all a question. Was David's appointment or did David's appointment take away from Saul's kingship? David was anointed to be king. Did it take away from Saul being king? So what was Saul's problem? Yeah. Yeah. Because he seen greatness in somebody who yet greatness was not in. It was just that he seen this guy that threatened him that had more than what he had, more ability than he had. He seen somebody that he was supposed to teach and train to take over after he's gone. We are afraid of future people. We are afraid of the next generation. I think that's the reason why there's more daddies that kills their sons' dreams than enough. Because they're so afraid of their kids to be better than them. Let me express something to all of y'all in here. Let me express to everybody. I can't wait till G be better than me. Then I can ride off his coattail. I want G to be a millionaire. Because I'm going to go lay up in his house, I'm going to drive his car, I'm going to eat his food, I'm going through his wallet, I'm pulling money out, I'm going to buy me $200 pair of tennis shoes, I'm going to have me a feast and a ball off of him. I think we miss it because we're so self-centered and we don't know how to deal with promotion by others and what our role, and when we are not... But when we're not comfortable in the role that God has us in, we have a tendency to want to fight with everybody else that is progressing, and we're not. This man should have got excited when they got to singing that Saul killed 1,000 and David killed 10,000. You want to know why? Y'all want to know why? Because that was 11,000 of the enemies done. And he didn't have to do but 1,000. But he's still what? King. It does not change my position, does not change my place in God. Actually, you enhancing it because I'm still the one in the position that you are supposed to be in. You just getting training. You actually doing all the work. I need to sit back and relax. can't get these people, they won't turn over ministries. When I go to my next tier of ministry of being a bishop and overseer with churches, I'm be too busy flying around on everybody else's dollar, checking their churches out, to be up in here. I'm having a pastor here. When I come in town, y'all going to pay for me to come in town. I be in Hawaii. What are you going to Hawaii for? I'm thinking about setting up a church. Organization, y'all paying my way. Let's go to Hawaii. I don't understand. That's another level of anointing. But we're so afraid because we get so comfortable in what's the little thing that we got. My precious. We become control freaks over things. That we're missing the next level of blessing that God has for us. So offensiveness come in when we don't get in our position and progress in the position that God has and desire for us. You think he wanted to kill Saul off? No. You didn't think he was going to honor Saul when David became king? Yes. But David could never become king until Saul was dead. Why? Anybody understand why? You're only going to have one king. Come on, let's go so y'all can see this. Let's go.
1 Samuel 18:1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul.
And watch how he got upset. Come on.
And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousand, and David his 10,000.
Oh, but it was fine until this whole, the image of the people and the women and everybody looking at more than he looking at me. So what is our problem with the folks that are getting on our nerves? This is becoming deep now. Now I'm about ready to mess with you. All of us is Saul. All of us is Saul in this case. Is David getting on his nerve? He's taking something that belongs to me. He's getting my kudos. Hold on. Him and my son becoming tight. My son even gave him everything. I want y'all to place yourself in Saul's shoe because this is us sometimes. Let's go.
And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands.
Oh, my God. This displeases me. Who are you that somebody get on your nerve? Who are you when somebody did displease you? What hell you have and what heaven you have that somebody displeases you? What kind of audacity did you have that somebody got on your last nerve, especially they were doing something of God, but they didn't do it the way you liked? Let's roll. I told you we're going to find ourselves in a lot of this. Come on.
And what can he have more but the kingdom?
Ah, that's it. You found out the reason why he was displeased. What'd he say? Read that all again.
And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?
You're so afraid they're going to take what you think belongs to you. I come to the understanding that we get very irate with people in church because we think they're going to take something that belongs to us.
And Saul eyed David from that day and forth.
There we go. I love this part. I love that. What'd he do?
How many of y'all see that, folks? See them people up inside church?
Keep my eyes on you. Yeah. I'm going to keep my eye on that one. Y'all don't know, and I'm going to say this just like this. Y'all don't know how many people come up to me, and I know they look at me like I'm crazy. and say, Pastor, let me tell you something. And the crazy part about it, y'all ready for this? I already know. I'm a watchman constantly, 24/7. I can tell you. But because I don't expose or do this the way you want it to be done, how you want it to be done, you think I'm not dealing with it or howling. Cohen, I'm preaching. I know, man. I'm preaching real good looking like your daddy. Do y'all understand? When you start watching somebody, what they doing, they is not the problem. You are. Now, what I had a problem with King David was, King Saul was, he was the king. He had duties and obligations. Now he being consumed by somebody else, and he's not fulfilling his duties and obligation. He being consumed at this guy, and now the devil's tricking him and messing with him that everything that David doing, that he's going to observe it and write it down. Let's go.
And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul.
There you go. Why did the evil spirit come upon Saul? Why? Hold on. It wasn't because he killed somebody, hurt somebody. Why? He left his position of being king and started looking at David, eyeballing everything he's doing. He became no good to God. When you start measuring yourself up with any other individual in church, look at me, y'all. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Eyeball to eyeball. Count your relationship as God as being done. When you're going to start looking at somebody, they got a husband, and they not treating them well. If I had a husband like that, or I had Mike Jones, I treat him better than this. Count you ever getting a husband as done. Well, if I had money like that, I'd be giving God this, that, that. They got money. They don't even count it as being what? Done. Because now what's happening is, you are focused solely on that agenda, and the focus of God is off your mind. Now the devil sees that, he's going to work you to death. He's going to mess with you, pick with you, and there you go. Lovey did hit that. That's why I said, thou shalt not covet it. Now he's going to mess with you. He's going to take that desire. He's going to keep feeding it. And then you're going to say, what you ain't got. Now you're going to get so distraught, bitter, angry and upset, not only with the individual, but with God. Because why are you going to give Nat that long hair? You ain't give me no long hair. Shake it for a girl. And they don't even know that. It's a scary place to be at in this position. Because then you're opening up yourself for disappointment, hurt, pain, and no growth. Now the roller coaster ride starts. Because whenever the evil spirit come on, you're going to go down. When the evil spirit comes off of you, you're going to go up. Whenever you see the person, you're going to go down. When they ain't around, you're going to be where? And God can't use you. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's go. Come on. I won't finish it tonight.
And he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand.
Hold on. Read that again. Go back.
And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand.
Hold on. Who prophesied? Okay. Then right after he prophesied doing God's work, watch what happens. They ain't got a javelin in his hand. Let's go.
And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice.
Hold up. God told me to tell you, Ned, that you're going to be blessed. Yeah, but do y'all know we're doing that every day in the kingdom of God? We dancing and praising and blessing God and speaking words of good tidings and going back and talking about folks like dogs. You see Muffin get up and do a fake shout today? Lady Maria had no need to be doing all that. But now I'm beginning to see our problem. It's deep, ain't it? Let's roll. Let's finish this up because I want to see what happened to this boy.
And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul.
There you go. Now our eyes got off of God, off the job that God calls to do. We seen him and got jealous. Now we're afraid because we see that when we go to attack the person that we trying to portray that God is with us, we come to the realization that maybe God is not with me and the anointing is on the other person. Now let me express something to you. The anointing never left you until you try to attack somebody else. You caused the anointing not to fall on you because you want to look at somebody else. There's more than one anointing. David had his anointing. Saul had his. You got your anointing. I got mine. You don't need to talk about me in order for your anointing to flow. But if you start talking about me, your anointing is going to dry up and mine's going to keep on going. You're only cursing yourself when you think that you're doing right. If you want to destroy any individual and not dwell in unity, you're going to end up killing yourself, not the other person. Read on, my sister. So, Muffin, I love you. You can take this Sunday off, too.
I'll be here. 1 Samuel 18:13. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways.
That's it. Now, on the opposite side, when somebody does something against you to demote you, you still got to behave yourselves in. I come from the king's house playing a harp. Now I got to fight. And I got to take it in all stride and keep on talking. Anything you say, Saul. Woo! My gosh, we're seeing, I'm showing you a story of two different people, how they dealt with this. Now, not only is David got on Saul's nerve, now Saul is on David's nerve, but you can tell that David's on Saul's nerve, but you can't tell that Saul got on David's nerve. Because David still respects the position and not the person. David loved God so much that he even know how to love his enemies. David realized that I got an appointment and I'm not going to mess up my future even for somebody else that don't want to change. I know it's not my time yet. And I know I still can learn from him. If it was to do or what not to do. But I'm not going to curse my life looking at what he's doing unto me. Let's read on, please.
And the Lord was with him.
Wherefore? Oh, why was the Lord with him? Because he what? He behaved. If you ever want God on your side, act right. My gosh, is this good teaching or what? When he showed me that, I just said, okay. We can't defend God. He don't want us to defend him. He wants us to be humble. And he just wants us to be obedient unto the word. Do y'all understand that David was not obedient to Saul? And that's why I can't deal with folks to try to say that David was obedient to Saul. David was never obedient to Saul. Because if David was obedient to Saul, he would let Saul kill him. He was obedient to the promise or the word that he was going to become king. Don't make a difference. I have anointed you, David, as king. Don't make a difference how I'm going to get there. I know what he told me. So this is how a king acts.
Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him.
There you go. Woo! So you want to get somebody back? When they're trying to get you, behave yourself, and they get more afraid of you. Hey, say it again. That's what they do. Hey, all up on me. That's okay. Something wrong with him. What's wrong with him? Why are you acting like that?
But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to
you. You hate me? Well, yes, you're going to give me your daughter. Y'all want to confuse folks and cause folks to bless you? Behave yourself. Before they know it, they be giving you everything they got. They don't know why. We don't have to play the same game that everybody else is playing, y'all. There's a different set of rules for all of us being brothers. When we learn to strive and come together in unity, how good and how pleasant it is, when we present pleasantness to everybody else, it's a different set of rules for us. We don't have to go obtain things like everybody else do. There's a whole new set of rules that is obligated to take care of us if we behave ourselves and stop offending and acting nasty towards everybody. It ain't even about how I feel anymore. Feelings getting us in trouble. Because feelings are emotional, that come from the soul. And when a soul is now being led by the spirit, a soul is out of control. That's a dangerous thing to have a soul wandering around here without the spirit man leading them. And that's what's happening inside a lot of churches today. It's just a bunch of emotions and no spiritual man that's presenting himself before the soulish man. So the spirit man can't keep the soulish man or your emotions in check.
Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him.
So now, hold on, read that again and y'all tell me what this verse is saying. And y'all watch how slick this guy is. Come on.
And Saul said to David, behold my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him.
What'd he say? He was hoping to, and he did it all in the name of the Lord. We doing scriptures and saying scripture to people to kill people in the name of the Lord. I'm going to give you a wife, and then I'm going to put you in a position, and I'm going to let you fight these battles because everybody giving you so kudos and high, and I ain't worrying about it because, you know, you're going to die. Watch what happens.
And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?
God, is that a humble response? Let's go.
But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Maathah, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him.
There you go. Look at the trap. Anytime somebody don't care for you, you got to be careful what they give you. But what I love about God, you can give me something to destroy me, and if my motives are right, it'll never affect me. Let's go.
And Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not only dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines.
When God with you, nobody. I don't care what position or title they hold. If their motives is to treat you wrong and to destroy you, and if you stay humble. And I like to say humbleness is almost at the place of naiveness. Sometimes we're too nosy and want to know too much. Sometimes we don't need to know everything. Sometimes it's just to stay still and let the Lord fight. I'm with God. God knows my heart. And I'm not coming in here to be malicious. I'm not coming in to take over the kingdom. I'm coming here to learn of Saul. So, you know, anything Saul doing me, when my attentions, God tell me to play the harp, I play the harp. He tells me to dance, I dance. If he tells me to wipe his feet, I wipe his feet. I'm not coming to take over. I'm just coming to be a servant. If you have that mentality that David had, forget all the rest of them with these hidden motives and agendas. They can't even destroy you. Now, their weapons will be formed. But I love it when, did anybody ever talk about you or say something about you and you never knew about it? Y'all ever been like that? Or somebody try to do something to you and all this whole plan was conspired against you and you didn't know nothing about it, you was oblivious to it? Are you serious? Or something happened in church and you just didn't even have it. Somebody said something, you ain't even seen or known what's going on. Did that happen? You want to know why? You want to know why? You're in a good place. God don't want you to know. It's the nosy folks that's too busy looking at everybody and everything up in church is the one that's going to be destroyed. When you miss things like that inside church, that means your mind is on God and God alone. That's a great place to be. Let's roll.
And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired.
What pleased David? Not to be the captain of the army, not to go to fight the battle, not to have victory, not to have a hall about 10,000. He just was pleased to be his son-in-law. He felt so honored just to be a part of a family. He didn't even care about nothing.
Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men.
He slew the men just because he wanted to please the king. A man that hated him. Man that threw a javelin at him.
And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by.
Number one, what you got to do? You got to what? Behave yourself. There's no excuse for acting like a fool. You got to behave yourself. You got to behave yourself. You have to do what? Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to bless us, Lord God. We go forth tonight to receive your offering, Lord God. We thank you for the great words you done preached and ministered to us. Allow us to take that word and produce that word throughout to every individual tomorrow that we possibly can. In Jesus' name, amen.